Let's bow, let's pray. Heavenly Father, during this season of Lent, may your Spirit help us to feed on your word. Amen. So today we have the feeding of the 5,000, not the passage from Galatians, perhaps a challenge too far. Yes, but the feeding of 5,000, the only miracle recorded by all of the Gospels, a fact that testifies to its significance. The writer of John's Gospel is keen to show that Jesus did miracles, but he also has a special emphasis. He wants to stress their greater significance, that there were signs that tell us something deeper about who Jesus really is. John identified the feeding of the 5,000 as a sign, one of seven pre-crucifixion signs in his gospel. The feeding of the 5,000 is the fourth of these seven signs, the first being when Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding in Cana. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, the feeding of so many people, they began to say, "This is of a truth, the prophet that should come into the world." They thought that Jesus was the Messiah who was going to drive out the Romans. And this is what verse 15, which comes immediately after our gospel reading, tells us. That Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. The people wanted a leader to overthrow Roman oppression, and so missed the deeper spiritual meaning. But we need to look at what our gospel passage is saying about Jesus and his mission, so that we too don't miss the deeper meaning. John tells us it was Passover. This may seem a simple detail, but it is significant. Passover was the time when the Jewish people remembered that God had liberated them from slavery in Egypt. Much of the rest of this chapter from the John Gospel is dominated by the Passover, in particular one aspect of it, when God fed the Israelites with manna, bread from heaven, during their wanderings through the wilderness. Jesus goes on later in this chapter to say that he is the bread of life. And of course, it was at Passover when Jesus was crucified, and at Holy Communion, as we take the bread, we commemorate that his body was broken for us. Jesus is making the point that he is like the manna that came from heaven. But Jesus points the people away from the manna and towards the person who gave the manna. It was not bread that saved the Israelites. It was God who saved us. It was God who saved them. So far, we've been looking at the big picture that our gospel reading presents, that the true bread that Jesus came to give is his body offered in sacrifice, and it is in him that we can find life. But our gospel reading also invites us to enter into the scene imaginatively and to consider the other characters involved, focusing on the contrast between the young boy and the disciples. Let's start with Philip. Jesus opened with a question to Philip about where they could get enough food for the crowd. John tells us plainly that Jesus was proving or testing his disciples. So how did they respond to this test? Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth, that is about 6 months' wages of bread, is not sufficient for them, but that every one of them may take a little. Philip couldn't do the miraculous because he focused on what he didn't have, not on what he did have. Philip was aware of his own inadequacy rather than remembering the overwhelming resources of Jesus. So let's ask ourselves, how do we respond to the size of the needs around us? Are we like Philip? Do we look at how little we have? Or do we think how much God has? And secondly, there was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He spoke up. "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes? But what are they among so many?" Andrew wasn't blind or indifferent to the needs of the people, and he wanted to address them. However, he couldn't see the miraculous provision of God. And then there was the lad, the young boy. We're left with his offering. The boy had a small offering, and he didn't withhold it. Jesus wants what we can bring him. We may not have much to bring, but he wants what we have. Sometimes it feels that we're called to an impossible task. Our world faces huge challenges, war in the Holy Land, war in Ukraine and in many other countries, and the climate emergency. We face challenges which seem too much for our meager resources. We need to be prepared to say to God, "This is all that I have, but what I have is yours. I cannot do what needs to be done in my own strength, but I know that you can help me to accomplish your will." Our own abilities are not going to enable us to do the things that God wants from us, but God can take the smallest gift, and when we give sincerely of that smallness, God can grow our gift into something much bigger. Doing the work and living the life which God has set before us may seem hard, but we, like the disciples, need to believe that Jesus walks with us. We do not do it on our own. Let's pray. Help us, as we come to communion today, to recognize that you are the bread of life, and it is in you that we find life. And help us to offer to you whatever we may have, no matter how insignificant, because we know that you can do great things. Amen.